Welcome to another New Zealand Doctor podcast. This is a podcast version of the regular monthly article, The First Time, written and presented by me, Dr. Joe Scott-Jones. First Time is a series of articles designed to help people new to general practice deal with some of the challenges, and to refresh ideas in the sad and tired people like myself. This time, we're going to start talking about money. Like most of us, I'm not a financial whiz. I find it hard to interpret documents like the 2015 budget and the statements that are made around health spending. The government says that they're increasing spending on health by 5%. The opposition says, in real terms, this means a reduction in spending because of inflation. The Association of Salaried Medical Specialists say the actual increase in spending in real terms is reducing year on year, even though the percentage of health spend is rising faster than the percentage of increase in gross domestic product. MPs received a 5.5% increase in income in 2015, and the government's rejecting a 4% rise in public sector worker pay. Whilst heralding a 5% rise in DHB income, they're proposing a 0.37% rise in capitation. I get confused. What I do understand is that the money coming into general practice is getting less in real terms. I can see it in our monthly profit and loss statements. Wages go up, costs of goods and services go up, and I can't increase my practice income, so my personal income goes down. Although it was the right thing to do for our community, the New Zealand Medical Association were also right in advising against practices entering the Very Low Cost Access Scheme when it began. In a Very Low Cost Access practice, fees are fixed. The only way you can increase your income is by taking on more patients or providing additional services through other contracts. We're reliant on the government promise to make sure our income increased year on year to cover our costs, and that's just not being borne out. One issue that seems to be missing from the assessment of costs that inform the reasonable increase in fees review is an assessment of the reasonable increase in GP income each year. We need more GPs in New Zealand. Recent news suggested 1,000 more, just to maintain the status quo. As well as increasing the training program, we need to make sure that the job at the end of the day is more attractive and sustainable. Those of us that own practices have to make them economically viable, as there's no other pressure or support that enables us to grow our service. As our income gets squeezed, we have to do more with less. That'll inevitably mean doing more with fewer staff, since staff are the greatest cost. The increasing number of nurses that are graduating, the increasing numbers of medical students and training opportunities in general practice are all lovely, but if at the end of the training pipeline there's not enough money to pay them to work, they'll have to find employment elsewhere. The New Zealand health system runs at a primary care level on the basis of small businesses trying to turn a profit. And if we're going to support a future for primary care, we need to make sure our businesses are as profitable as possible. Developing a sustainable service for your community should be seen as a professional responsibility, whether that's in the form of a standalone business or one that's viable enough to hand on to someone else in the future. It isn't easy, but within our system, it's another part of our role as GPs. We need to increase the income of our businesses and reduce our costs, so that our communities have access to healthcare for the future. And that's going to be the subject of the next couple of podcasts. To many doctors, the fees our patients pay to us are an embarrassment. We avoid talking about them because we don't want anything to get in the way of good communication in the consultation. Money can be the source of confrontation and has complex effects on the balance of power within a therapeutic relationship. Bad debt is a significant cost to many practices, and we need robust processes to prevent it developing. I'd like to talk first about avoiding bad debt. The first step is to know what's happening. Allocating credit control to one person on your management team and having them report every month of the levels of bad debt is a good start. They need to report to you their unpaid bills that 14, 30 and 60 days after invoice, not just to patients, but your PHO, DHB and ACC. This is one of those cases where if you're not measuring it, you won't be able to change it. Many debt collection agencies say that money owed for 90 days or more is unrecoverable. and the ideal is to collect fees when the service is provided, of course. In any other small business, it'd be perfectly reasonable to refuse to offer any credit. You pay when you collect the goods from the supermarket, why not when you go to the GP? Consider an additional fee if payment is delayed. A $17.50 charge in a VLCA practice is for a normal consultation paid on the day. The fee is $20 if the payment is delayed, for example. Consider providing many alternative ways to pay. Offer electronic payments, direct debit and automatic payments are also good options. It's quite normal practice now to add the cost of transaction onto credit card payments, and many people prefer to pay with their credit card account despite the additional costs. But don't you take on board those additional costs. Another option is to make sure that reception staff are well trained in customer services and are clear about the necessity to collect fees at the time of the consultation. Some practices ask for the base payment before the consultation and then additional payment if extra services are provided. And I don't think we should be shamed about using a debt collection agency. Having a clear written policy that all staff understand can help to avoid bad debt, but when it does occur, a debt collection agency can really help to motivate people to not let the bad debts develop up. It may be worthwhile thinking about an example from the building trade. In there, the service is provided and invoiced on the day with the details of the credit terms clearly on the invoice. 7 days later, there's a phone call made to ask for payment. 14 days later, a statement with additional credit terms, including advice about the debt collection process, if the payment is not made within the next 2 weeks, is sent to the client. And 28 days after the original invoice, the client is referred to a debt collection service. But, of course, there's a problem for us. We carry an ethical burden of care. We all know patients who desperately need our services but can't afford to pay. And we have to be part of a viable business that are able to provide care and be financially sustainable into the future. So there's a real dilemma. We used to be able to shift costs around. We could increase fees for those who could pay to cover for those who can't and write off the bad debt each year. But with increasing contractual restrictions preventing increasing fees, free care to the under 13s and the very low cost access practices, for example, it's no longer possible to shift fees around, so we have to focus more on reducing our debt. Consider your options on a patient-to-patient basis. Think whether or not to ask that outstanding accounts are cleared before a patient is seen again. At the end of the day, you have to decide if you're going to keep seeing the habitual non-payer. You have the option to ask the patient to find another GP, as non-payment represents a significant breakdown in the therapeutic relationship. It's a last resort, but remember, first you save yourself. That's it for this New Zealand Doctor podcast. More on finances again to come, so listen out for more, and follow us on iTunes, subscribe to the New Zealand Doctor magazine, consider following me at ApodikiGP on Twitter, and see you again.